Standout with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome back to Standout with me, Ian O'Connell. I'm here today with Celine Slattery. If you're just joining us, the full interview will be up on the Radio Kerry website in the podcast section after the show, or you can now get this show, as well as all the shows I've done so far, on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Standout with Ian O'Connell. The Brandon, that would have been the first big hotel, really,
would
it?
Oh, that would be the first of the big places, you know.
And as time went on then, did you notice more hotels going up more frequently?
Oh, yes. The Brandon was the first of the big hotels, and then the other hotels started expanding. Then we had the Imperial Hotel, and Therese Collins, who was the 1965 Rose. She was from Belfast, but she was clever enough to marry a Kerry man. She had the Imperial. So, and I still keep in touch with Therese all the time.
And it's great to be still in touch with her, like you said.
Yeah.
Were you involved in getting accommodation for people for their own?
Yes, I did that. Then as Tralee Tourism, I worked, we did the accommodation. Padraig Kennelly, God be good to him, of Kerryside, he gave us an office, and we worked there. Now, we were independent, but we worked with the festival.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and at that time, you see, we had the town and country homes, as well as hotels and farmhouse accommodation. They were all involved in Tralee Tourism, you see. And so we had contacts with all them. And I loved that. You met very interesting people. But Padraig couldn't understand why you'd work until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And I'd often be at home at 12 o'clock, and he'd ring me and said, there's a family here looking for accommodation. And they couldn't understand why it was 12 o'clock at night. So you had to get up and come down. You know, but you know, looking back at it, when you're younger, this is all happening, and it's all fun and interesting and everything, you know.
It's a lot different now. They all eat 9 to 5 and they're gone home for the evening.
Yeah.
Do you, as part of the kind of accommodation, was it more, I suppose, was it kind of houses or hotels you'd kind of go to more?
Well, we had to go to the houses because there wasn't enough hotel accommodation. And that would be all taken over by Roses and families and that coming.
Yeah.
So we'd in the first days of the festival, we had to go around to all the houses and ask them would they be interested in letting a room, you know, or in, and we got great support.
And you know the way the Roses, like you said, it started with only a few, and now it's up to 30-odd.
Yeah.
Did they was it similar to now? Did they kind of show a party piece as well when they appeared on the Rose?
They did, but not. Some of the things were a bit, I don't know.
Over the top.
Unnecessary.
Yeah,
over the top. You know, I mean, even now, last year, I watch it every Monday night and Tuesday night, but one of the girls, what she was doing was decorating cupcakes.
Yeah.
Do you know, that was, for God's sake, my 6-year-old was doing that, you know. And but they blame Doughy, you see, for a lot of it. But I think he has to take his instructions from RTE.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you ever meet Doughy?
Once ever.
Did you?
I met him. I'd say it was the first year. And I was down at the selection with Margaret Ware, the Lord mercy on her, and during the interval, like everybody, we queued up for the loo. But Margaret said, if you go around the back of the stage, they might have won there. You're safe for the Roses.
She was queued out.
I wouldn't have to queue with all the others. So as I was going around, Doughy had just come off the stage, and the RTE fellow was there, and he was give me out, and as I was passing, I just said, Doughy, how she couldn't, and he said, straight down the middle.
So, a typical Irish answer.
Yeah, but I think he's very, very good. And anyway, he's a Kerry man, so we're proud of him.
He is. And when was your last time going to the Rose actually in person?
Oh, when was it?
A few years ago.
Oh, a good few years ago.
And you'd watch it on the... When did they start showing it on television?
I'm not really. I can't remember.
Don't know.
When did they show it on television?
Probably took another while. Move on. I know that you're big into your politics, aren't you?
I am.
When you were younger, did you always have an interest?
Yeah, I grew up in a political... No, my parents, I will say, never influenced us.
Yeah.
You asked questions, but you made up your own mind. But you knew how they were voting.
Yeah.
Do you know, I can get a bit hot under the collar about them now, which my parents never did. But I'm very proud of the part that they took in 1916. But they were living in Waterford at that time.
Yeah.
And my father lost his job through his involvement. He was a chief organiser for Sinn Féin.
Really?
From 1912 to 1922 till he came back to Killarney. But I'm very proud of that. And, you know, I feel sorry in a way for he and so many of his friends never took part in the Civil War. They were so heartbroken.
Yeah.
You know. And funnily enough, I have a lot of his old papers. He knew Casement in South America because my father worked in Rio de Janeiro.
Go away.
In the beginning, and Casement was there. My father had joined the IRB before he went, he was very young, before he went to work. His first job was with, we had no television, no radio, on post.
Yeah.
So whatever company it was. And his first job was in Rio, and he was told by the IRB...
That's Brazil, isn't it? Brazil.
Pardon?
Rio, that's in Brazil, isn't it?
Yeah, Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah.
And so they had a lovely club out there, you know, and in comparison to what the locals were paid, these were millionaires, you know.
Yeah.
I have photographs of the Irish club, and I have a lot of his papers, you know. And I was going through them recently, and it was extraordinary. On the 22nd of November 1922, I came across a letter, an open letter, which he had written to the press at the time, you know, that why not get together? They had achieved, he always felt that they had achieved more than they ever expected through the rising.
Yeah.
But now it was all over, and sort of, let us come together now. We have got a lot more than we expected. And, you know, that there'd be no Civil War politics.
Yeah.
But it took all those years. It
took a long time.
But he was heartbroken, so he came back to Killarney then with the family in 1922 when he came back as Secretary of the Board of Health. But from that on then, he was a staunch Republican and a staunch De Valeriite, but that was just himself, you know. And as I say, he never influenced the family, but if we ask questions, he answered them.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Absolutely. It's great to see a woman like Norma Foley, now a Kerry woman, female, getting elected.
I think it's marvellous. Well, I know her personally because I was constituency secretary for her late father. And Norma was in the same class as my daughter. So
that was Dennis Foley, was it? Dennis's name was?
Dennis Foley.
Yeah.
And we had two Fianna Fáil TDs in North Kerry at that time. And the late Tama Killistrum and Dennis Foley. So I knew Norma. I loved working for the Foleys because while I was constituency secretary, they were so supportive of their father. that you were part of the family.
Yeah.
Do you know, it was a lovely place to work and lovely family in that. So that's why I'm so interested in Norma and I'm so proud of her.
Yeah.
And I contacted her to thank her for the wonderful speech she gave at the Ardesh when she was introducing me, Hall Martin. And I said, do you remember 1990? She was a young teenager and she spoke at the Ardesh in Dublin. That
really?
Was way back in 1990. And they were saying, oh, who's she? You know. And it was very unusual to have a teenager at that time. And I asked, did you remember what she finished? The top number one at that time was that thing by Tina Turner. And the last line of it was, you're the greatest. And I remember she turned round to the late Brian Lennon, the original Brian Lennon, and she said, you're the greatest. And then when she was introducing Micheál Martin this time, you know, I don't know, were you watching it? And she said, come at the man, come at the time, come at the man, you know.
She said that, and when she was...
I was so delighted that I had reminded her of the 1991, you know.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell. I'm here today with Céline Slattery. Say, like politics back a good while ago, was there as much women in politics than there is now?
There wasn't. And there's one thing I agree with Mary O'Rourke. She doesn't agree with this gender thing. She feels that you should be selected on your merits, whether you're male or female.
Yeah.
Do you know? And I think she's right. Now, we're very lucky because all the women we have in Fianna Fáil, you know, they're all excellent politicians and excellent, but they'll be excellent anyway. Do you know?
I was reading on, I forget where it was I was reading, but you got widowed young, did you?
Oh, yes, he's dead 21 years.
Yeah.
So we didn't agree. No, we didn't disagree.
Yeah.
We just went our own way.
Yeah.
You know. And he wasn't as... He was very interested in politics, but wouldn't be as vocal.
Yeah.
Or as emotional about it as I was.
As yourself,
you know?
Yeah.
And then he was born and reared in Tralee.
Really?
So he was a Tralee man. He worked in the health board, you know. But my politics, while I'm very strong in my views, I still see good in other people.
Yeah.
Do you know? Now, I think Dick Spring was a marvellous. You'd be very proud of him.
Yeah.
You could send him anywhere. And we're always good friends, do you know? But there was a lot of that in it. There wasn't the kind of bitterness that's there now, this come-upmanship.
Yeah, there is.
You know, there's a lot of it going on. And it has spoiled it, because you can be interested in politics without shooting one another.
Yeah.
My friend Phil knows.
Sometimes they get a bit over the top in the Dáil and stuff,
oh,
don't they?
Oh, they do. You know, I think I haven't read Shane Ross's book and that, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's unnecessary.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
And there's younger people now because going, you know, more into politics now, younger people and stuff.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that over the last couple of years?
Yes, I do. And, well, we know the reason why younger people are... They have different ideas.
Yeah.
They don't look too far ahead. So I plead the Fifth Amendment on that, Ian, please.
Yeah. you are Fiona here on Radio Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
She was telling me that you love travelling. You went to Australia, did you?
I did. My eldest daughter's in Australia. I've been there twice, three times. And I always loved travelling. It is the one thing I miss now since I got old. Now, I know my family would take me. But if people are going on holidays, they don't want to look after somebody else, do you know?
Yeah.
So I think when you get old, the family should come to you. There was one thing we always had at home. My parents could never understand why people travelled from Australia or America for funerals. You know, visit people when they're alive.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, you know.
You'd see that a lot now, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
You would.
And I'm delighted that my family love travelling and my grandchildren. They're great travellers.
Yeah.
I was just saying, coming in, that one of my daughters, the daughter who lives in Australia, she's in Thailand at the moment. And she rang me yesterday, and, you know, it was, and I'm not into IT in a big way,
yeah,
at all, but it was just as if she was across the road. And she rings me every Sunday from Perth, do you know?
It is, it's amazing, isn't it?
And with Skype and photographs and everything,
yeah,
sure, we're all one big happy family.
I don't want to talk about it too much now because it's gone. But COVID, how did you find that?
It was a bit of a novelty in the beginning.
Yeah.
Do you know? And we didn't know what to expect.
The unknown, wasn't it?
But then I do feel it had a very bad effect on older people.
Yeah.
And, you know, clubs I belonged to, I was in Toastmasters, that finished. I'm in Probus, thanks be to God, that has restarted now. But we were 2 years
really
without it. That's a lovely organisation. And there are quite a few clubs in Tralee. And they're all your own kind of age. Well, I'd be the oldest, they'd be from 60 upwards, you know.
Age is only a number, isn't it?
Age is just a number.
Yeah.
There's a lovely new song now. Oh, I've heard it a couple of times. The eyes are aging, but the heart is still young. What is it?
It's all true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very true.
The age and the eyes, but the heart is still young.
The heart stays the same, no matter.
Well, you have to. You have to make the effort yourself. I mean, there's no point in sitting at home and saying, I'm 90 years of age.
Yeah.
Come and look after me.
Absolutely. You mentioned Toastmasters there.
Oh, I love Toastmasters. I joined it way back in 1993.
Really?
Sean Lyons, Mikey O'Donnell. And, you know, we had no internet or computers. So when you were preparing a speech, you know, you had to go to the library, maybe look up, do some research and that, you know. But now all they do is switch on the computer and they get all the information.
It's all there for you.
But I suppose it's necessary.
And that hasn't started up after COVID, has it?
Pardon?
Has Toastmasters started after COVID or is it still stopped?
No, they went what they call virtual. This is,
oh yeah, online, yeah.
Online.
It's,
but I never reached that stage.
Yeah.
I did one night, my friend Sean Lyons, he belongs to a club in London, so he brought up the his computer and all that and set it up, and we had it at home.
Yeah.
And I was delighted. I spoke at that club just as a guest, you know. And who else? There was quite a few Irish people, so I don't know if Sean is still on it or not.
Yeah.
But the club is back working eventually.
It's great to have something you enjoy, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's great to have something you enjoy in life.
Oh, yes, I loved it. And the other thing I miss, of course, is the bridge.
Oh, yeah?
Fanatic bridge player. We played a club in Killarney and a club here in Tralee. And we did play a bit of house bridge then during COVID. Just four. The same four all the time, you know. But then I have a problem with the eyes, so I have to give up the club as well.
Yeah.
Do you know?
There's a man in Killarney that plays bridge. I forget his name, but he tried to get me into it, and I tried it once, but I could never get the hang of it.
Oh, no, you have to persist, and you have to go to the club, make an idiot of yourself, and that's the only way to learn, you know.
You've a very positive outlook on life, don't you?
Well, I have to.
Do you think that's very important?
Oh, I think it's very important.
Yeah.
You know, and you won't have friends if you're not positive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if somebody else has a pain or an ache, you know. Well, it is nice to say, oh, my head is bad or my knees are bad. But you have to be positive and say, no matter how badly off you are, there's always somebody worse off.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And did you, you were talking, your eldest daughter's in Australia.
Yes.
Did you, were you able to contact her virtually over Skype and stuff during that?
Oh, yes.
She didn't get home, did she?
She was.
She got home?
She was home just before the lockdown.
Was she?
And you see, her husband was saying, I don't know, she came for my 90th birthday. And her husband, he's a darling, he's Australian. And he was very worried in case the lockdown and that he mightn't see her for right now. So she was very lucky. She just got back before the lockdown, you know. But he'd never have forgiven me otherwise, you know. So she hasn't been home now since 1990.
Really?
But I mean, she's on the phone to me. I'm sure there's...
She's always on the phone.
Yeah.
Stand Out with Ian O'Connell on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell. Did you enjoy Australia that time?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought the Australians were... Now, I was in Perth, which is, when I say Australia, it's only part of it, Western Australia.
My cousin's actually living in Perth now.
Is that
she
so?
She is, yeah, yeah.
And Emma works in a private hospital there. She's a nurse. And her son has just graduated. And he started his first job last week. So, you know, we chat about all these things.
And yeah.
It brings home. But I thought the Australians, I don't know about other parts of the continent, but I thought the people in Perth were lovely. They're very laid back.
And, yeah.
You know, usually traffic lights in Ireland, you know, and you see them doing this, waiting, hurry up, hurry up. But there, I don't know whether it is the heat or not.
They're more calm.
So what if you don't get it through this time? Sure, we'll get through it the next time.
The next time. How did you find the flight, the airplane over?
I didn't mind it. So first time I went, we stopped in Bangkok and changed there.
Really?
And then the second time I went, we stopped in Singapore. And I used the wheelchair the second time.
Yeah.
And it was just before Christmas. And the airport in Singapore was absolutely gorgeous. And I was dying to get out. You see, I'm addicted to shops anyway. And I was dying to get out and go around the duty free. But when you're on the wheelchair, I said, sure, it's... And you're brought into this beautiful lounge, and they say, we'll be back now in 5 hours for you, whatever the length of time was. And you have an open bar, and you have free food and everything. And I was dying to get out of the wheelchair and sneak out to the shop, but I was afraid I'd be arrested.
You might miss your flight.
Yeah.
The whole thing going on in Ukraine now, with the war and stuff, the Red Cross, they're very important. Were you involved?
Oh, I love that. I love the Red Cross.
You were involved with them, were you,
yeah,
for a
while? Because my father was involved, and it was being reorganized, whatever year, 1949-50. And the national president at that time was Leslie Bandabara. She was Leslie Price, but she was the widow of the Cork Republican Tom Barry.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she was organising it, and she had known my parents through the troubled times, you see.
Yeah.
So I
was your dad
the
in
Red
the
Cross.
War? Your dad was in the War of Independence, was he?
Oh, he was, yes, very much.
Yeah.
He came back from Rio de Janeiro in 1909. And he had known my mother before he went over, so they got married. So he was still in the post office authority business, and he was transferred to Dungarvan. But then, you see, when he got involved in the trouble, he lost his job.
Oh, really?
We were all under British government that time. So he lost his job. So he was in and out of jail. And but the people, because I went back to Dungarvan in 2016 then.
Oh, really?
You know, and it was lovely to see the names of people that I had remembered meeting as a child, because
yeah.
when he came back to Killarney, they still kept up the contact.
That's very
people
good.
Like Pax Whelan and people like that. And it was only, unfortunately, when you're young, you don't take too much notice.
Yeah.
And it was only when you think back on all the people you met, and when I go through his record, which he had to send to the military bureau, whatever you call it, and I saw the chances they took, you know. And then Maureen Cregan of Killorglin, she was chosen by Pierce to come down on the, you know, at the time
yeah.
that they wanted to put off the rising until the proclamation was read on Monday.
Yeah.
And the whole casement and Austin Stack, but that's too complicated and too emotional.
And it was great to see the names when you went back,
so
wasn't
it? It was great, because I remember visiting Maureen Cregan. She afterwards married Jim Ryan of Wexford. They were a very staunch Republican family. And he was the first minister for agriculture and the first Dáil. And his two sisters were each married to Sean T. O'Kelly.
Really?
Ryan's. When his first wife died, at that time the Catholic Church didn't allow you to marry, but he got special permission. He had to get permission from Rome to marry his sister-in-law.
Really?
Who was one of the Ryans of Wexford. But Maureen Cregan had written some beautiful plays, and a couple of months, she was from Killorglin, and a couple of months ago the theatre group in Killorglin were putting on one of her plays.
Really?
You know, and it was lovely to be able to say I remember that lady.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Before we finish up, I want to ask you about community in general. How important is a good community, like we've seen during COVID-19, how everybody came together? How important is it to be good in the community?
Well, my father always said, if you can do anything for your community, do it.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that happened with COVID. You know, the way people helped one another, you know, and communities came together, and communities were set up.
Yeah.
Do you know? And to some people it was strange, not to me, because I was always community involved, you know.
Yeah.
It was just something you kind of grew up with. But I do think that during COVID, it did bring people together.
Yeah.
But when it carried on too long then, you know, we thought it would be only a short
yeah.
thing. But when it carried on too long, then, you know, it did have a bad effect on people.
Yeah. And it's great to be able to look back now and say we were all there for each other.
Exactly. Neighbours were great. Well, maybe I was lucky with the neighbours I had.
Yeah.
You know, but if anybody was going to the shop, they said, do you want anything? Do you know?
Yeah.
Whereas before, that wouldn't happen.
The small things.
Why do they think I'm not capable of it?
Yeah.
But now you appreciate everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very good. Celine, thanks a million for coming in now today, okay?
And thank you very much for having me. I hope I didn't bore you.
No, I enjoyed that chat now, and it's great. Do you know, for a young person to get an insight into what life was like,
yeah.
you know, during the War of Independence and stuff.
Yeah.
So thanks very much.
Well, you know, we always feel that, I must say, I grew up in a very happy family. We didn't have half the things we have now.
Yeah.
And a lot of the old customs are being done away with. But you have to accept every generation is going to change.
Absolutely.
I mightn't agree with everything that young people are doing today, but I accept it.
Yeah.
Same as my parents probably were shocked at some of the things I did too. And thank you very much for having me.
No, thanks so much.
All right.